I am excited for next week. We're going to start a new series next week on the character of God. The character of God. I think this is really important. We know of God, but do we know God? How well do we know God? Do we know who He is? Because of a personal relationship that we have. And do we know what He is like? Right? There's a lot of questions the world has that you hear all the time, concerning evil, pain, suffering. And you know, we tend to hold God accountable for those things, don't we? Yeah, we do that because we ask questions like, you know, why does God allow this or that? Or why doesn't He do this or that? And that's why it's important to know the character of God. And so we kick that off next week. I'm really excited for that. This week, if you haven't been with us, is our final week. We've been talking about the will of God. Okay? And we said last week that hindsight, it's always 2020. Exactly. You know that saying? Discovering God's will often happens in hindsight. When you look back on life, you can often see things more clearly. And ultimately, like we talked about last week, we find out what Moses found out, that God's been with you all along. Maybe you didn't see it in the moment, but He's been with you all along. Just a little recap from last week. We talked about Moses being called into the presence of God, right, on the mountain of God. And God said, hey, don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, and then He commissioned him to go and to save His people. And He said, hey, this will be the sign for you that it was me. When you get back here, you will know that it was me. When you've already done it, that's crazy, huh? And you get back here, you will know that it was me. He was being called to step out in faith, just as we're being called today to do the same, to step out in faith. The problem in our lives is that when we look back, we can look back and walk away with the wrong perspective. All right, here's a quick story. Two salesmen were sent to a particular place to find out if there was a potential market for sandals. Okay? The first salesman came back and he reported, there is no potential here because nobody wears sandals. The second salesman came back and he reported, there is huge potential here because nobody wears sandals. See, perspective is important, isn't it? How you look at things. Some of us don't want to look back on life because what's back there ain't pretty. Maybe you don't want to look back there. And from our perspective, we don't see the potential. And maybe you don't see how God has always been there in your life. It's easy to look back and to see all the things God hasn't done. Right? And start focusing on that. It's not always easy to see the good things God has done when life has been buried in trouble and hardship. And when we focus on all that, we begin to wonder why we went through everything we went through. And all that difficulty that we went through can easily become what we dwell on the most. We talked about last week how that doesn't lead us down the road of thankfulness, but it leads us down the road of bitterness. There's a danger there. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, a familiar verse you may know. It says this, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then what happens? You will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. As we look back on life, okay, the Bible teaches us there is one massively important thing to keep in mind, and that is to look through it with God's mercy. And we need to get good at seeing the potential of what God can do in your life through God's mercy in your life. And so we need to start looking at life a little differently, right? Through mercy, all right? This is mercy. Through mercy, okay? That's good, right? Just look at life through what God has done. You might say, well, Pastor, I need a lot of mercy. And I'd say, okay. Then you need to look at life just through a different set of glasses. You just need to look at life through God's mercy. Just more of it. Okay? So there are no excuses here. No matter what God has done, what you've focused on, what's happened in your life, we can all look at as much mercy as we can see. So I ask, Lord, for you to teach us to look at your mercy when we go through life. If I don't take these off, you will not take me seriously for the next rest of this time. All right? All right? You know, we were talking about Moses, you know, that he killed a man. Moses. And yet he was called into the presence of God to take off his sandals and humble himself. And I'm going to tell you today that God doesn't use your life because you're good or you're bad. He uses your life because you're humble and you choose to take a look at life through his mercy. Right now, that doesn't give any of us permission to go on and continue sinning just because I know that God has so much mercy. That's not what he wants. We should want to do the right thing. We should start to want to do the right thing. And that is, we should want to be more holy and more pleasing to God. Now, we're not perfect. Nobody's perfect, but we can still desire to be more holy and more pleasing to God who has given us so much mercy. Amen? Amen? So the more of this you do, right, the result should be the more holy and pleasing you want to be. Right? We just got to get good at this. Every day we got to see life that way. When you start doing that, what does the Bible say? God's will becomes more and more clear in your life when you view it through his mercy. The very fact that we desperately need to keep mercy in view all the time tells us that life is imperfect and difficult things are going to happen. The verse does not say you will be able to approve of what a perfect world is. No, it says you will be able to approve and test what a perfect will is. It's not a perfect world, but God has a perfect will for your life, a plan for you. And in order for all this to work together in our lives, mercy is the required element. Here's one good definition for what mercy is. Undeserved kindness and compassion of God. Undeserved. So let's put this into practice right now, right? I can look back right now and I can dwell on the bad things that have happened to me, or I can look back and I can see where I have had the undeserved kindness and compassion of God in my life. That might be a good thing for us to do this week as we go home, as we get into God's word at home with our families, as we pray in our homes, and you get with God, just you two together. Maybe you say, Lord, where have you shown me kindness and compassion that I'm not thinking about? That would be a good practice. I think we should do that. Sometimes that will come through other people. Maybe God's brought other people into your life to help you to see his mercy, to help you to see kindness and compassion. Or maybe God has forgiven you. Maybe he's given you second chances, but these are some of the ways we can see God's kindness and compassion. I can tell you right now how to improve your day, okay? I think we really improved our day today with worship and with all these kids singing. I mean, that was fun. I don't know if me rapping improved anything. I think it just... I had to wait for it. I knew it was coming. We can improve our day, not watching me rap, but thinking about God's mercy, focusing on God's mercy. And we're going to talk more about that next week. I'm really excited to talk about the character of God. All right, if we want to learn to recognize where God is leading us, we need to transform the way we think. Right now, we are not going to see God like Moses saw God at that moment. Okay, I'm not going to rule it out. I'm not going to say what God can do or can't do. Maybe you will see God in a burning bush. I would love for him to speak to me that way. Just so I know clearly. It would require a lot of humility, though. Do I have it? I don't know. But I would love for God to speak to me that way. It's probably not going to happen like that, right? Or maybe like it happened with Isaiah or Samuel or Solomon. It's probably not how it's going to work. Let's fast forward. We talked about Moses getting the call to get his people, God's people, out of Egypt last week. Let's fast forward to when the people actually do come out of Egypt, and they are back at the foot of this mountain, just as God said they would. And Moses knew God was with him all along. We are more like them, most likely. We are good at claiming we are being led by God to the promised land while we dance around in our sin. We make big claims, church. I make big claims, okay? I'm good at that, right? But we're more like those people getting caught up in the things of the world. But the Bible says, hey, don't be caught up in the things of the world. Don't conform to those patterns. It's really easy for us to do that. So what is God looking for in us then? Okay, he didn't call each individual person up to that mountain to take off their shoes. He only called Moses. What is he looking for in us to literally offer our bodies as living sacrifices right now? Not to actually kill our bodies, but to live sacrificially. And that means the same thing as denying the patterns of the world. All right? Take a look at the patterns in your life. Does your day end the same way every day? Right? When you get frustrated, do you take it out the same way every time? When you're in one relationship and it falls apart, you jump right into another relationship, and then that. Take a look at the patterns in your life and see how you're doing. All right, living sacrificially. It's the same thing as taking up your cross daily. All right, take a look at your daily life with God. Are you communicating with God every day? being a living sacrifice is not just once a week. All right? I love what happened today. Worship, cheering, praise. I love it. Right? And that is great, and we should do this every single week, except for rapping. But I love it. But what does God say? Be a living sacrifice. The rest of the week matters in your life, in your personal relationship. So what are you doing every day, right? Living sacrificially is the same as submitting our lives to his commands. You know, take a look at your level of obedience to God's word, right? And I'm just going to challenge you, you know, how many times have you been in God's word this week other than right now? And it's okay if you haven't. I'm not, you know, condemning anyone, but I'm just challenging you, you know, have you been in God's word? Now, I know a lot of people have. We have Bible studies on Wednesday night, and I give assignments, and a whole bunch of people have been in God's word. And we have a men's group on Friday mornings and a women's group on Sunday nights. And I know that a lot of people have been in God's word, but I'm just challenging you. Are you in God's word? You and God. Is you and God. It's so important. It's so important for your spiritual growth. All right, when Moses came down that mountain the second time, he had the Ten Commandments in his hand. And so God was looking for something. He was looking for eagerness to honor him with their lives, to let go of their old life and to start a new life with a new set of commands. And for them, that is how they were to take off their sandals. Right? And this is where the real potential is in our lives and with our relationship with God. Excuse me. It's when we have decided to take off our sandals before a holy God. What does that mean? That means when we've decided to become obedient to God's commands. Right? We don't do that to be saved. Right? It's how we take off our sandals. It's how we bring glory to God. It's how we honor his name. Doing what he asks. And so we must get good at what we focus our minds on, about what we allow into our minds and what we choose to dwell on when we look back on life. We have to become very vigilant about it. Well, let's read some scripture here from Philippians chapter 4. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." You remember last week we said God called Moses twice? He said, "Moses, Moses." Pretty important. Well, let me tell you what he's calling us to do. Twice. Rejoice. Rejoice. All right? Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And your minds in Christ Jesus. Hang on to that thought. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Focus on the right things. Let's read another passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Starting in verse 14, it says this, "And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. See, there's that line again. God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Both of these speak of our lives in Christ Jesus. His will for you is in Christ Jesus. Right now, if you want to live your life outside of Christ Jesus, you don't want to live in Christ Jesus, but you want to live outside of Christ Jesus, then you are basically asking God to judge you very differently. You're asking him to look back on your life and to judge your life outside of Jesus Christ. Right? To take God's big old mercy glasses off and to judge you differently, literally saying to God, don't judge me based on your mercy. Judge me based on my own effort and my own merit and the good deeds that I've done. If you want to live outside of Christ. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to come up short. You're going to come up short. Paul tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No matter how good you are, you have fallen short. We all have. That's why we're all here. We need God's mercy. God would love to look at your past through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he would love for you to ask him if he would be willing to look at your past through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he can do that for you. And he will do that for you. And all you need to do is ask and say yes. Because we know that his will, according to 1 Timothy, it says he wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Right? So if that's how God looks at our past, then we need to look at life through the blood of Christ in the same way. God has kept his mercy in view in your life. And we need to do the same. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, every last Sunday of the month, we come together and partake in communion. And so as we close out this service today, we're going to have a little bit more worship. We're going to be taking communion together. If you're new with us, let me just explain a little bit. We have four corners here. There's a table and a communion tray in each corner. When I release you, you can go ahead and go to the nearest table, grab the elements, and bring them back to your seat, and you can take communion with your family or with someone around you, or you know, if you see someone by themselves, maybe it'd be good to be the body of Christ and go pray with them. Or if anyone needs help getting communion, just raise your hand and we will help you do that. I want you to know it's really important when you take communion. When you receive communion, you are proclaiming the blood of Christ. You're saying, I believe in Jesus and what he did. So if you don't believe that, I would encourage you to not take communion, okay? You don't have to be a member of Hope Church to take communion. You just have to be a member of God's church, right? The body of Christ, believing in the Son that he came and died for you. All right? If that's you, I want you to take communion with us today. If it's not, don't worry. No one's going to judge you or anything like that, okay? All right? Before we do that, Jesus says these words as he is feeding the 5,000, okay? Feeding of the 5,000, John chapter 6, he says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me. Straight from the mouth of Jesus. I love this. Do you want to know what God's will is? Jesus says, this is it. That I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. Well, I'm excited about that. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Wow. You know, our Savior literally made himself a living sacrifice. He lived a perfect life, and he gave his life. And as he says these words to this crowd, they're hungry. He reaches the bread up to heaven, and he breaks it. And there's enough for everyone who's willing to be there and who is willing to eat. And then he tells the crowd, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. And we know that he gave himself for us by giving his body and his blood for our salvation. And we remember today that he did that. We remember communion. Amen. Let's stand together. Worship team, you guys can come up whenever you're prepared to do that. Let's pray together. God, we're so grateful for your sacrifice. And we know, God, that when you look back, you see your Son, Jesus Christ, hung on a cross. You see the blood of the Lamb that was slain. You see the one who bore the sins of the world. And you see resurrection to new life. And God, that's what you see when you see us. You see mercy. Lord, teach us to see the same way that you see. And God, reveal your will for our lives. In your mighty name, we pray these things. Amen.